It's time for Let's Talk on WPPA, AM 1360, A106 FM, and on the web at WPPARadio.com. Stories making news, special guest interviews, your phone calls, and more. The views expressed on Let's Talk are not necessarily those of the management or staff of WPPA. Now, here's your host, Jay-Z.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to it. Another edition of Let's Talk. It is our Thursday edition, hour number one, as we get underway here this morning. And as we told you at the top, special program today. And sad, kind of a sad program, certainly for sure, because folks out there, if you're on the social media, you may have known we lost a great here in our WPPA family, Les Blankenhorn passing away. And, man, Les was a legend. And so joining us on the program, we have the owner and CEO of the Pottsville Broadcasting Company, R.G. Tidmore, because on an occasion like this, we wanted to, you know, get everybody's thoughts. Les affected everybody, let's put it that way. And you know that more than anyone.
Yeah, he really did. He was an amazing part of the WPPA T102 family. He was outside of being the on-air personality, he was the original behind-the-scenes kind of tech advisor for everything. Anytime anyone had a problem with microphones or some of the broadcast equipment we'd take to games or on live broadcasts, he was the guy that fixed everything. Or he either fixed it himself, like he could solder different things into components, replace internal batteries, things like that. Or he was the one on the phone talking to the factory rep, trying to walk them through what to do with something. So he truly was a great person, a great husband and a father. He was a great person to have as part of the Pottsville Broadcasting family, and he is certainly going to be missed.
Indeed he was. We still have, I know Chaz and myself, still have a device that Les made because you couldn't buy it, so he just made it.
Yeah, and that was, he started here. I actually had to quick check our records. I asked our bookkeeper, Paulette Jenkins, I said, when he started. She went and looked back. It was September of 1969 is when he started here, and he retired, as best I can tell from my records, it was probably January of 07, because his last full-time check here was the very beginning of February, so it probably carried over in the pay period. So that would have been about a 37-year run that he had with the company.
Wow. And did so much. Gosh, voice of the Crimson Tide, did their football and basketball games, man. Many a great call.
He did, and I'm sure other people can talk more to that, but when I was a young guy, my dad used to send me out to learn stuff about radio, and a lot of times Les got the probably unenvious position of dealing with me. I mean, I don't think I was that bad to deal with, but I probably curbed their style. I would go to games, football games with Les and Chris Knapp back in the day. Chris was doing play-by-play back then. Les was doing the color broadcast. And they would just take me along. And I remember they were hysterical as anything, telling jokes on the way up, the way back. And boy, did they know their local sports.
Yeah.
They knew stats off the top of their heads and all kinds of stuff with who was playing. It really was a pleasure to be around that kind of excitement as a young kid coming up into the radio business and just seeing what goes on behind the scenes. They're not just broadcasting a game. They were actually out there. They were like excited about this and like, oh boy, you know, like our guys do now. Mm-hmm. They come up and they'll say, oh boy, this one's only, you know, two touchdowns away from this many or this many, you know, shots away from getting 1,000 points. Like they knew all that stuff too. That was before it was computerized and everything else. And some other people like JP, he does it all out of notebooks and his head and everything.
He's grid paper, he has. Yes.
But I'm sure JP, if he's able to call in or stop in, he has gobs of stories about Les and sports broadcasts.
And, you know, I was lucky enough to go out with Les on a few occasions. And as you said, the first thing that I always appreciated about that is I knew we'd get on the air. Because if there was a problem, Les would jury rig it. We'd never have a problem about getting on the air. But, man, it was fun. I remember afternoon games. This is going way back. Jim Thorpe didn't have lights, so we went up on a Saturday afternoon, broadcast, I think, right under a bee's nest. That was fun. But Les kept his cool, was professional about it as I was scrambling, trying to get away. But like you said, there's just so many memories. And, man, you came in, and you had to be at your best. You had to bring your A game because Les was a buster, too.
Oh, and it wasn't fun.
And I'll tell you what, you walked in, and if you weren't ready, man, he'd eat you up in a good way.
He would. I know certain times he would, and he'd do it in a teaching but a playful way. He'd be like, you know what really works really well? If you actually plug the unit in when you try to turn it on and see why it's working or not working. And it's like, oh, that would really help, wouldn't it? Or, you know, the reason you're not getting your microphone level is because it's not plugged into anything. It's like, oh, okay, yeah, right. But that's one of the things that Les also had the unenviable task of doing was taking me out to a lot of his, we call them remotes, the live broadcasts at different businesses. He taught me a lot about the broadcast. I would go back, and you might remember this, we had the double turntable.
Yes.
We would go
yes.
out and actually set up a whole setup for the record player. We had different mixers and phone connectors and all kinds of things when we would go out. So he showed me how to do it, and eventually he could go and talk to whoever he needed to at the business before right. the remote and let me set up the equipment. But I would do, we had live reads back then. We would, take some paperwork with us and say, hey, here's some of the specials they're doing today or stop in all this week, for this or yep. that at the business. And also I would be one of the people queuing up the record for him sometimes. So we would put it on a different channel and I'd be able to queue it up with my headphones. And so he taught me a lot about actually doing the broadcast and how to yep. best read for commercials and put a smile in your face and everything. And I'm like, what does that do? And he's like, actually, it works. It yeah. really, truly works. It comes through in your voice. He taught me all that. And you said about him being able to put different contraptions together. He taught me how back in the day, before cell phones were a really big thing, we had to get an actual phone line. And usually the business had a phone line we could plug into a fax line or something.
Mm-hmm.
But our connector a lot of times didn't match their connector. So we had, I kid you not, about 7 different types of adapters in that box to carry out there. And I remember one time I used all 7 connectors. Les wasn't there, but he taught me. And I have to get from this type of plug to that type of plug. And it took all the adapters to finally get to the end that I needed. But a lot of times, you needed an adapter yep. or two. And he was amazing. We did yep. one remote. It was actually at Tiger's Den on the West End when they were, I guess, newly opened back in the day. And it was a payphone on the corner, kind of out in the corner out by the highway. And that's what we had to plug into. We couldn't use whatever system they had because they were using it for credit cards or something. So we had to plug in. And Les actually went over, and the old payphones, you could unscrew the mouthpiece and you take the disc out that, mm-hmm. Transfer the voice to the 2 metal prongs that were in there to put it into the phone system. He took alligator clips after one of these connectors. He clipped onto these things, and that's how we did the entire broadcast. The entire cord went all the way across over by the main building where the pumps were and everything. We were on the corner, yep. and the payphone was there. So, and people used to pull in and they'd stop and use the payphone. So my job for the entire rest of the 3 hours that we were there was to tell people they couldn't use the payphone. And about 2 people did pull in while yeah. we were there. And they're like, I need the phone. I'm like, sorry, we're using it for the broadcast. Please, I'm sorry. And they jump in their car and take off somewhere else for a phone. So, but that was the kind of thing that Les did. He could put you on the air, whether it was alligator clips and a payphone. He got it on.
I mean, he was the king of alligator clips. I saw him alligator clip so many things, but like you said, the end justified the means because it worked, and there was never a problem. It always
worked. It was a good connection. He was the person that would go out, again, before cell phones, when bag phones came along with cell phones, it was amazing, a godsend for companies like us. Because before that, you had to have a phone line present. So for a lot of sporting events, the businesses, like I said, usually had a phone we could connect into. But for sporting events, especially in the playoffs, you're like, yeah. oh, boy, this team is from our area is going to go out of the area. And it's like, oh, my goodness, do they even have a phone line at that stadium? We would have to, when Les did this, he would have to call, the telephone company and say, we need a phone line there mm-hmm. by, next Friday. And this would be like a Monday morning or something because you wouldn't know who they were right. playing or what yeah. they were playing until, the week before. And then he would have to be the guy. He would a lot of times drive to these locations, test the line, because sometimes you're like, well, yeah, we put the box in, but we didn't actually connect it. It's like, no, 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 we need it actually connected. He was the person that did this. He would go out, and then when we did start using cellular and bag phones when they were available, he was the one driving around to all these locations and actually testing, going into basketball arenas or football stadiums and trying, like, can we get a signal here? Can we do this? We have to place the magnetic mount antenna. Mm-hmm. You probably remember. We had to put on a steel support beam up above us over here to get the signal, you know, through the gymnasium and out to a cell tower. He's the one that went and tested all that stuff. And he had a list that said, okay, the cell will work here, here, here. It will work here, but you got to put the antenna over here. He did all of that stuff. He was amazing.
And, you know, that helped you so much because you would tell him, like, we've got either a remote or a ball game here. And he'd say, well, look, here's where you have to set up and here's what you have. Because, like you said, he went out and he did it and he knew. And the amazing thing to me was he could remember that. Remembered all of that.
Yeah, he did. He kept all that in his head. He was remarkable at it. If I can, I want to go back. Before I forget, I have to say our sympathies go out to Diane, Jennifer, Cindy, his entire family. I apologize. I don't remember how many grandchildren he had. But everyone in the Blankenhorn family, we were so much going to miss Les. He was such a light when he came in the room. You know, it was going to be something, you know, something quirky and funny that he was going to say, or an insight to something that we weren't quite thinking of. And he really was a great man, a great broadcaster, and I'm sure you can all attest to a great family man. His family really came first.
Yep. And he was like our Swiss Army knife. Or like you said, he could do it all from the, you know, the engineering aspect of it to on the air. You know, he had his show middays, and of course he did all the basketball, and then he did the behind the scenes work.
Yeah. I mean, well, he filled in everywhere back in the day on WPPA, and a lot of times we had our guy that lived actually at there was an apartment at the AM transmitter building, and Willie Whistle used to live there. And he would get up and do his 5 a.m. to 6 a.m. country western show. And then he'd change all the connectors, the patch bay back to send the control back to the studio. Well, also back then, we didn't have any automation to change the transmitter from high to low power. And for those of you who always complained about PPA, it's by the FCC license. It wasn't me trying to save electricity, believe me. You know, when the sun was up until the sun went down, we could be on high power. But at night, the signal goes further, and anybody on or near a 1360 frequency had to power down. We did it, and about four other AMs in different states had to do it to protect each other for the nighttime signal. But Willie was the guy that did the transfers. He would manually go over there and click, 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 and boom, pushing all these buttons. And there was a process to it, and my dad had taught me that. But there were times, and I'll want to say a few things about this in a little bit, but when the Miss America pageant was going on, we used to go and broadcast that live, and they would record a lot of the women down there, and they would send it not only to us, but other radio stations around the country interviewing their contestant from whichever state it was. But at that point, my dad would be gone, Jim Thompson, Les would be gone, but when Willie took a vacation in the summer, and he always went for several weeks, Les was doing the morning show. He would fill in then. So, or maybe that was his position. I have to think back and remember. But he filled in. He did a lot of actual shows, and he filled in a lot of places. So he might have been doing the morning show then. He would go to the transmitter in the morning before he signed on the air at 6 a.m., put the transmitter to high power manually, come down here and do his show, and then I would go up, and I remember I wasn't even driving them. My mom had to drive me up because they were at like a radio conference, like it might have been National Association of Broadcasters or something in like Las Vegas or something. They were all out of town. So my mom would take me up in the evening. I would change it. I would put it down to low power at the prescribed time and less handled the early morning, which as a young kid, I was very happy I didn't have to be up at 5 a.m. to do something like that. But yeah, he did it. Like you said, he did it all. He did all of that stuff behind the scenes, the technical equipment back then, on the fly with issues as they were doing a broadcast, something wasn't working, and he would grab headsets or a power supply or something and race it to the site and change it around so they could do the broadcasts and do it properly.
Yep. he was structured. I remember that table there, and he'd have the suitcases open, going through the equipment. He packed everything just the same way all the time. Oh,
yeah, and he actually, Chaz could probably tell you this, Les put on his theory of how to treat the equipment to Chaz, and Chaz does the same thing now. Like, there's a certain way that it gets put back away in the box so it's not broken in transport. There's a certain way you wrap up the wires and the cables.
Yep.
Because the worst thing is when you get to a place, as you know, you got to pull it out. It looks like a bird's nest of cables and everything else. And you're like, oh, my goodness, who put this away? I got to, you know, you always try to get to the broadcast early, but you're always behind the curve for some reason. And you get there, you're like, oh, my goodness, I have to be on in half an hour. And I got to untangle all this before I even plug it in and do a test call.
But he was always great. I remember wrapping up the headset the one time. No. You don't want to do it that way. And show me the proper way. And then, like you said, it was that way. From then on out, after that.
Yeah, that's the way you did it. There was one proper way to do it, and he said you take an extra 5 or so minutes at the end of your broadcast to put everything away properly. He said it's going to save you 10 or more minutes on the other end when you're trying to put it together for another one. And it makes the equipment last longer as well.
Sure. And that stuff will tangle if you don't do it right. It's just amazing what can happen.
Think, you know, people with their Christmas lights. We have that. You know, tenfold with some of our gear, and you're trying to quick untangle this thing. And, you know, the person that you're there, either for the game or if you're at a business, the sponsor that's paying you to be there to promote their business, you don't want to look like a fool trying to untangle this mess of wires. You want to look professional.
Absolutely.
When you're there, and Les certainly exemplified professionalism.
Yeah. And he always got that through to all of us when we go there. You know, bring the equipment back the way I want it brought back the way it was, you went with it. And it was, for the most part.
And also, Les, as well as Jim Thompson, they were two of the prime people that I remember that were really ambassadors for radio in general and definitely WPPA. They would go out with the schools with the career days and different things, and it was, you know, they would go on the stage and they would just talk about, like, hey, here's what it's like to be in radio. Here's what it's like to be a DJ. And a lot of people that started here actually started back in high school.
Yep.
Because it was just so interesting then. You wanted your 15 minutes of fame, and they ended up staying for, you know, 5 to 10 years or something like that. And, you know, they didn't have the internet back then or anything for people to start a YouTube channel or anything. So they wanted their time and their extroverted personality out there. They would come on the radio. Mm-hmm. And Les was the one that went and talked to the schools. He recruited the people. He trained the people. You know, he went through, of course, young kids like, oh, I can't get there because my car broke or my ride fell through. So he dealt with all of that stuff, too. But he did it with grace. He did it with understanding. But there was a certain level of professionalism that Les made you want to attain.
Yes.
Just because he did. Like you said, he could joke around and poke fun at people and in a kidding way and all that stuff, too. But as far as representing the company and the public, he was top-notch professional.
Yeah.
He really was.
But it's funny because I can remember back in the day, and it's true, and I was, you know, doing middays, you know, upstairs on T-102. The first thing I would do is come down here, though, because I had to engage in conversation, have my little back and forth with them, and then I felt good for the rest of the day. So, yep, I can remember all that. It would have been great to pick his brain, how things changed. He had it so much harder because now you could just hit redo, undo, and stuff like that. Back in the day, when you had to do it the old way, man, you had to get it right or you were basically, that was it.
Well, going back to the equipment back then, we had all kinds of equipment to carry with us. Now today, it's nothing. It's like, you know, two little, you know, suitcases, you know, two little Pelican cases. And people are like, oh, they're kind of bulky. It's like, oh, this is nothing. The suitcases back then were bulky and heavy because all the equipment was made out of steel.
Yes.
You know, it was, there were things that they had to go with, like I was saying before, the Miss America pageant. It's like your one arm was longer till you got home after the week from dragging this stuff around just because it was so heavy, especially if they took, you know, not so much the tape players, but they would take, I think, a mini reel-to-reel machine at the time because it was a better audio quality than a cassette.
Yes.
And that's what they would record to, and then Les would do what he does to get it into the phone system he had available to send it out to, you know, people. I remember him sending stuff to people in Connecticut and Illinois and, you know, Texas and all these places. And they were so happy. We didn't charge for it, which, you know, we probably could have made a few bucks on it. But they never did. It was just a service they did. So they were happy to do it. It made them very familiar with all the contestants at Miss America.
Yeah.
And I guess I could get into it now. I see the other guys massing out there, but I'll wrap up my part of it with this, that the Miss America pageant, they would leave, I want to say it was like a Sunday or a Monday morning, very early. They would, to me, it was very early. They would leave at, you know, 6, 7 a.m. And it was my dad, Les Blankenhorn, and Jim Thompson, and they would go down for the whole week and start the interviews. And, you know, just they knew a lot of people from years and years of doing it, but the contestants would change year to year. And they would get familiar with them and do their interviews. But for the whole week, they were down there. And then on Friday, my mom, I would get home from school, or my mom picked me up from school. I forget. Like, this is going back to like elementary school. She would pick me up, and then we would pick up Les's wife, Diane, and his two daughters, Jennifer and Cindy. And we would all go down to Atlantic City then, and we would spend the weekend down there until the Miss America pageant was done. So we were there Friday, Saturday. I guess the show went Sunday. I guess it used to be on a Sunday night.
Mm-hmm.
But the whole time we were there, we were just enjoying the boardwalk and, you know, saltwater taffy and seeing, you know, as much as we could see from little kids from a distance for the casinos. But for years, this was what we did. We went down there. So we were very good friends with the Blankenhorns, the whole family, you know, Diane, Jennifer, Cindy. Mm-hmm. And it was a great time. Like, it was one time a year that happened for us, but we got to know not just Les, but his family through that as well.
Yeah,
and they're just a fantastic family all around.
Yeah, they really are.
And Les will truly be missed. He retired here, like I said, about it was January of 07. I was trying to think back. I was thinking it was about 15 years ago, but it was a little longer than that. So he was here about 37 years.
Wow.
Doing what he did. And you're right, if you want to talk about it too. Yeah, he came up through the analog days into the computer age. When I got here in December of 92, I started pushing computerized systems on everybody. And that's when the industry was starting to go to digital audio recordings and things like that. And it was quite a learning curve for all of us.
Yeah.
And Les was here for that.
Yes. That's what I said. That would be the thing, like, you know, back in those days to how it is now and like how he adapted and all that. Because like you said, that was a 180 from what we were used to when that started filtering in that new stuff.
It was. Yeah. And the thing with Les was, too, he took on this computerization of the company, kind of like grin and bear it kind of thing. Like, no one was really thrilled about it except me. But it created a lot of headaches for me, too. But Les had to learn it. And then teach it to the other people.
Yes.
Not only the full-time staff, but all the part-timers. Because we always had a stream of part-timers. Someone would come here and work 6 months and leave, or they'd be here 2 years and leave. So there's always people coming and going. But he was the one that had to train the full-time staff and the part-time staff. So he had to learn it, you know, as well as or better than anyone else. So he could then train the other people. And he did it. Like, Les was great about that. I never once remember him really having a complaint with some of the things. Like, I, as you know, I throw some real curveballs into the mix here, and Les would be like, "Do you want to do that, huh?" I'm like, "Well, I want to try it." And he'd be like, "All right." He never really complained. And, you know, there are some people that would grouse and stomp around, and why do we have to do that? That was not Les. He's like, "Well, I don't know. We'll see if it works. Right. Maybe it works better. If not, we can do something else." But he never complained about that. And that's one of the things I remember about him when I started here as general manager. Like, he just would do it. He would just say, like, "Yeah, let's do it." Or he'd come to me definitely with ideas on how to make things better. And it's going to cost this much, but I think in the long run it'll make it better. Like, he was buttoned up. He didn't just come in and off the cuff say, "Hey, we ought to buy this piece of equipment."
Right.
He would come in and say, "Look, it's going to be about this much money, this much to install it. And I think it's really going to help the broadcast this way, and it's going to make it easier on the staff." He'd be like, "Well, okay." And he'd give his pitch, and he usually had a good reason to do it. And more times than not, I would say I went along with his suggestion. But he was always looking out for the company, the community itself. He loved our community, the people in the community. He was a great ambassador everywhere he went, whether it was out to lunch or, you know, out to an event, and you know, the public would come up and just talk to him. And he was always so articulate and well prepared, and just He was just a fantastic person all around. He's really going to be missed.
Yeah, he was. I agree with you, Arch. As we remember Les Blankenhorn here on the program, we're here with our boss, R.G. Tidmore. Great job. Anything else you want to add, Arge?
I'll stick around for a little bit. I know the other guys want to come in and stuff. They might trigger a memory that I want to chime in
absolutely.
On.
Absolutely. I was going to say, don't leave.
I'm glad I got to say this about Les. He's a great person, whether on staff here or family or a friend, and you'll be missed, Les. God bless you.
Exactly. Do your favorite part. We'll take care of some business, and we'll have some more folks join us on the program as we remember Les here on Let's Talk on WPPA.
How many times have you heard,
"I'm bored. There's nothing to do around here."
You're wrong. Here's why. Explore Schuylkill is your destination for all things Schuylkill. From outdoor recreation to attractions, events, and accommodations, Explore Schuylkill can tell you where to go, what to do, and how to get there. They even have a craft beverage trail. Download an app and discover local breweries, wineries, and distilleries. Be a tourist in your own backyard. Visit Explore Schuylkill at their location along Union Street in Pottsville or check them out online at schuylkill.org.
Tune in tonight for Philadelphia Phillies baseball on WPPA, AM 1360, and 105.9 FM, A106.
The Phils close out their three-game series in Cincinnati against the Reds. First pitch is set for 7:10.
It all gets underway with the Lehigh Valley Health Network pregame show, 30 minutes prior to the first pitch. Phillies baseball on WPPA, AM 1360, and 105.9 FM, A106.
Best of luck to Douglas LaScala of Schuylkill Haven. Douglas is our Rodnick's Discount Groceries Hoagie Home Run Payoff Inning contestant for tonight's Phillies-Reds game. Our payoff inning will be the top of the second. If a Phillies batter goes yard in the top of the second, Douglas will win a 7-inch sub of his choice, courtesy of Rodnick's Discount Groceries. If a Phillies batter hits a grand slam, it's a hoagie tray, courtesy of Rodnick's. Best of luck to Douglas LaScala of Schuylkill Haven, and best of luck to the Phils.
The heat index has reached the point where squirrels are carrying tiny towels. The pigeons have formed a synchronized swimming team, and somebody just saw a snowman filing a missing persons report. Your official cooling center? Rodnick's Discount Groceries in Minersville. Cool off with these scorching, cool doorbusters. Grab 32-count Dots assorted flavor pretzels for just $9. Del Grosso's marinara sauce. 4 packs of Joyba bubble tea in sweet peach honeysuckle or strawberry rose herbal tea for only $2. Stovetop chicken or turkey stuffing for $1. And 12-count Papa Nicholas house blend medium roast K-cups for just $3. Then dive into the frozen section where it's practically wearing earmuffs. 20-ounce crinkle or straight cut fries are just $1.50. 1-pound bags of ham cubes are only $1. And 4-count M&M peanut butter ice cream cookie sandwiches are only $4. Forget sitting in front of the air conditioner wearing frozen peas as a hat. Head to Rodnick's Discount Groceries, 304 North 4th Street, Minersville, where the prices are so low, they just drop the temperature 10 degrees.
Dad, we've got a problem.
What's wrong now?
It's spring. The snow's gone. The salt trucks are gone. The groundhog punched out for the year.
Your point?
Why are you putting all Carhartt clothing in stock on sale for 20% off? Isn't Carhartt just for winter?
Josh, have you been living in a heated garage?
Well, no.
Carhartt makes summer clothes, too.
Right now at DeWald and Langle, save 20% off all Carhartt clothing in stock.
Carhartt shorts.
Shorts?
T-shirts.
T-shirts?
Polos.
Polos?
And UV Defender shirts.
Wait, Carhartt protects you from the sun now?
Last I checked, the sun works overtime in the summer.
Whether you're working outside, mowing the lawn, fishing, grilling, building a deck, or just looking good while pretending to work, save 20% on all Carhartt clothing in stock, including shorts, t-shirts, polos, and UV Defender apparel. DeWald and Langle, 1 mile west of the 183-443 intersection, Friedensburg.
I feel like I've learned something today.
That's a first.
This is the Red Apple Entertainment Report on Red Apple Audio Networks.
If you're a fan of House of the Dragon, watching the newest season, you may need a moment.
My enemies could be
been allowed to muster their strength.
The show has TikTok and Reddit unhinged.
I don't want to see Reyna or her crusty wild dragon sheep stealer on my screen again because they weren't even supposed to be at the Battle of the Gullet.
Fans say there are tinges of the iconic Game of Thrones Red Wedding, even calling it Red Wedding 2.0.
Sir Lauren, what were you thinking?
It was like I was living deja vu again, seeing Robb Stark. It's like I saw the arrows go in and I was like, oh my God.
Social media is dissecting every episode and potential future death, but also throwing shade at the dragon called Sheep Stealer, named for obvious reasons.
Everybody's talking about Sheep Stealer. This is a very bad behaved dragon.
Cooper Lawrence, Entertainment News, Worldwide News Network, New York.
This is the Red Apple Entertainment Report on Red Apple Audio Networks.
Back, folks. Hour number one of the program as we continue on. Jay-Z in studio with you. Of course, R.G. Tidmore is here, and we brought in some folks to join us on the program. JP, John Powers, and Chaz Hepler now joining us. Gentlemen, welcome.
Well, thank you, and thank you for the phone call this morning. We all lost a darn good buddy who taught us all a lot about this profession.
Yeah, as I was listening to R.G. about all the stuff Les used to incorporate for us here. One thing I could say is, one, he was the original MacGyver because he could take a foil from chewing gum and get you connected so you could broadcast. Two, the one thing I learned at a young age was don't ask Les how it happened or how it works, because if you asked him for the time, he gave you the complete instructions on how to build a watch. There was no other way. And one of the other things I can remember when we were together in the morning, when Les would come down in the morning after having his breakfast, and he would hit the bottom of the steps and he would just bellow out a saying that I will not say on the radio. But it started with, "Hey!" Everybody that worked here in the morning can remember as soon as he hit the bottom step down here. And, you know, I can remember a lot of different things, and RG's right. He did teach me how to take care of equipment, and Les was a bugger because he always hid his equipment. He had specific boxes that he had made up for his broadcast team to go out and call games, and he would hide it, and you weren't allowed to go near it because he'd always say, "When you guys break this stuff, damn it, I have to fix it." And he was right, because you'd always get headphones where one ear wasn't working. Only hear it in like mono. And you'd get dizzy calling a game because the people before you didn't treat it nice. So that was one of Les's tactics. So when I became more involved with caring for the stuff that our broadcasters take out, everybody now has their own box, but they don't have to hide them. They're just marked a specific color coordination or something that you know what box is yours. But I fell into the I can't solder worth a lick, so I ain't trying to break anything apart, but I am the equipment tester, I guess, and try and fix it, and fell into some of those roles. And it's been you know, the thing about Les is he was always jovial. You knew when he wasn't happy. You know, you hated to come in and their shift and have to do a shift after him when smoking was still allowed in the building before someone, not Les, burned up a trash can and that was banished. But you always knew Les was in the area because there was a cloud, and he'd always say, "I'm going out back, you know, and I'm going to go smoke a crow." And, you know, but, you know, the memories and the fondness for Les are run deep. And I had the unenviable task, I guess, of following him into Crimson Tide Sports. And it was kind of, and John will speak more to this because John was his running partner for a lot of years. But I had the unenviable task of following a legend in Pottsville High broadcasting. And then that legend was Les Blankenhorn. And, you know, I got a lot of ill will at first, you know, but I didn't. I was just the next guy up. I was a part-time employee here who happened to do some sports, and then, you know, the Blue Mountain thing came to pass, and It was a couple of years later after doing goal line and meeting Les at Maroons after games, and he'd bring a crowd. But John, you know, you guys rolled a lot. I got partnered with JP in basketball and Joe in football, and you know, it wasn't anything I had to do. That you know, Les's health was starting to go down at that
very
point.
Much so. Very much so. And let me talk about the logistical stuff. Back in the day, I was only allowed to touch the box. I was not allowed to open it. And when we got there and he opened it, he would look and go, "Don't touch anything." Okay.
Sounds familiar.
It continues to this day. But I remember he was so skilled at what he did. And a great story. We're down at Blue Mountain one time. There's no hookup. And he looked at me and he said, "Climb under these bleachers and I'll meet you at the window in one of the offices." And I went, "Because?" And he gave me that look like, "Just do it. You don't need to know why." Crawled under, passed it through. He took a telephone and hooked everything up to it and got us on the air. On the receiver, on the telephone. Now, many kids out there, it was this thing you used to hold in your hand that had two black things on each, or a black thing on each end. But that's how he was. But I have to say, if you didn't know him well, you didn't see the best parts of Les's humor. He had a very wry sense of humor.
Oh, yeah.
He had a couple little ditties, and again, we're going to talk about all of them. No, we're not, because we can't use them on the air.
No.
But there were times I'd be flabbergasted, but he was just that kind of guy, and I learned so much just from watching, just from listening, and later I could help take things out of the box.
Mm-hmm.
Couldn't touch any wires, but I was very proud of that.
How many different McDonald's restaurants did you learn on your way to and from games? Well, mostly from games, because he wouldn't eat before.
Okay, and look, I love Les. I still love him. He's still in my heart. But I have to tell you, we were always going to McDonald's unless I said, "I'll treat." And then all of a sudden, you can do the okay better than I could.
Okay.
Yeah, and it was like, okay. And one of the places he loved the most was Jim Thorpe. I'd take him into Molly Maguire. He was in his glory. There was another place in Danville. Can't remember the name of it. We'd go do playoff games. But as soon as I'd say, "I'll treat," it was like, I never heard of McDonald's. And he was like, "Let's go." But yeah, and I still kid about it in the car on away games. The van, the car, the Hummer. Boy, there's a lot of good stories. I don't know if I could use them all. But he would start smoking and he'd open the window a little bit. Every year, first game, I'd say, "Les, I'm not in charge of you. You need to stop smoking." And it did. It caught up with him later. But and he did quit. A lot of years after that, but I wish I could tell all the stories, because some of them, they're not X-rated, but they're probably right on the
they're
line.
Blue.
Yeah, they're blue.
Yeah, they're blue.
They're blue.
Yeah, they're blue. His ditty, after a long game, you know, he'd get behind the wheel and he'd start driving and then he'd start singing a song, and I can't say the words.
No.
But all I can tell you, it's been a long, long time. And
I think some people know the story. I was coaching the girls at the time. I was at a girls' game or a boys' game, and Les yelled down, "JP, can you come up here at March Hall?" And I went up, and he went, "Have a seat." So I sat down, and he put the earphones on me, and of course it had the microphone right in it, you know. And he said, "Les Blankenhorn back here." He said, "I'm joined tonight by John Powers, JP, the coach of the Lady Tide." And I went, "Oh." And he said, "Thanks for being here, JP." And I said, not his name, but his partner's name. And he looked at me, he said, no, I'm Les. And that was my first line. And once the game started, he said, okay, he said, this is a little bit different kind of defense we're seeing out there, JP. He said, what would you call it? And I went, well, hell if I know. And he kind of gave me that look like, yeah, this is going to be an adventure. And after that, as his buddy got ill, I filled in. Eventually, he asked me to do basketball and football. And I'm very proud to say, I said, Les, I'll do basketball, but I think there's people better suited to do the football. And we got Ned Hanford, mm-hmm. who partnered with Les also. And that was the best thing at the time. And there were a lot of adventures and just good times. He was real. He was sincere. And at the same time, you would look sometimes at things he said, and if you're a Catholic, you'd bless yourself because it was out of the blue, and it was very blue. Let's yes. just say that.
Yes. Is it safe to say it's true? Like, he was one of the fastest people on the microphone switch, because as you two have said now, like, some of the best comments during a game are between the plays when you're taking yes. a break, and people would probably pay a premium to hear the comments of you two. You know, nothing truly horrible, but there can be colorful things. With the same thing,
oh, there
JP,
was a lot
with
same
you and
with Les.
Like, you're like, oh my God, did you turn the microphone
but
off
he
before
had the
kill you
switch.
Said? Yeah, you had that. Like, and like, oh my goodness, did you turn the mic off before you said that? He's like, oh yeah, we're off.
Yeah, and
like,
a couple of them. I don't think anybody is surprised that I can be very glib and have a sense of humor and sometimes say things even on the air that Les and my partner here would sometimes just look like, did he really say that? Did he really go there? And we did. But Les got to that point where he'd give me the same look as Chaz did. It'd be like, oh, but then he could bot me off. Unfortunately for Chaz, he couldn't get to the switch fast enough.
We don't have the cough buttons.
That was it.
That's
all
cough buttons. Yeah.
That was it. So some of my more outrageous things.
Oh, yeah. I can remember being in Altoona for a Mount Carmel state championship football game, and it was raining. And I got the assignment of the sidelines because I was going out. I had a family member playing in the game. And the folks here were like, well, Les and Bill are going out. Why don't you just do the sidelines for them in that game? And it poured. And in commercial breaks, Les and Bill Norton were unmerciful about the weather conditions and me standing out. At one point, I had to find a garbage bag from the custodial staff at Altoona to put over myself because I was soaked through and it was cold. And they, oh, it's nice and warm and dry up here. And they were unmerciful. Yes. Yeah. But, you know, it was all in good fun. You hang in there and you understand you're working with true legends of the industry. And, you know, Les was that. And it was, you know, outside of him burning the record All Right by Christopher Cross into to submission that you couldn't play it anymore. He loved that song. But, you know, people remember those things of Les and being on in the midday and Les calling sports. But the behind-the-scenes stuff, man, he was just always on it. And, you know, the whole thing with that equipment was more self-serving for him because he was tired of our nonsense of breaking things. And that was more of, I'm not fixing it. If you're going to bring it back this way, that's your problem to deal with. I don't have that problem. But, yeah, I mean, a lot of those habits I've indoctrinated into what we do now.
Well, I get a kick, and my wife posted it on Facebook a couple of years ago. There is a picture. Chaz was still in college, mm-hmm. and Les and I were calling a game at Penn State Schuylkill, an all-star game. And the picture is Les and I on the air and Chaz sitting with us as a college student. When I first saw it, I wasn't sure it was Chaz because the guy had hair. And I thought, that can't be him. But am I getting a look?
You feel a little bit of a look,
yeah.
I can feel. I'm going to protect my pocket here. But anyway, yeah, I treasure it now. treasure it. Pictures of Les and I in the booth years ago. He was a true friend.
You guys were common law married, I think, weren't you?
There was a time. And I have to tell you, at my age now, he wasn't bad, you know. Some days you get to a point, you go, it ain't port in a storm. But back in the day, yeah. And there is a closeness. You know that. Mm-hmm. On air is one thing. You're going to be close. It was the ride. It was in the vehicle. As Arge said, it was the side chats that you had. And I want to give him a shout out. He was always so good reaching out to my family, myself, my wife, my kids, and especially my daughter, Megan. He was one of her biggest supporters and gave her shout outs all the time. So it went far beyond what we do. And I'm going to say it on the air. It's the same with Chaz's family. He is my other brother. He really is. And his family is my family. And that's what this place can bring out in you after a lot of years.
Yeah, I think a lot of people don't realize that when you're calling a game and you're trying to be somewhat serious, although you hardly are, you know, it's those moments in the car ride to and from. It's those moments where you get a little bit of downtime from what you're doing that you kind of let loose. And Les was a master at it. He ran a master class in, you know, yes, we have to take this serious. Yes, we are professional. But, you know, when you have those moments away from the listening audience, you know, it's a way to relax, you know. It's a way to calm down, focus, and jump right back in.
Yeah, and I learned a lesson from Les. And, you know, I always tell – when people would say – oh, you're the analyst for basketball. And I'd look and I'd go, I'm a commentator. I'm not an analyst. I am not a coach. I don't do that. And looking back at my career, because Les was very good at this, I adopted it immediately. Chaz and I agreed immediately when we went on. We didn't criticize kids.
Right.
These are not athletes. They're students. And we all were of the same vein. You didn't criticize the kid ever or give suggestions about coaching. Chaz would say to me, so you're in the locker room, JP. What do you think you're telling the team for the second half? And my line was always the same. Les, there's a reason I'm in the booth now. I didn't do a good job coaching. I'm not going to second guess people. I'm not going to do it. And I'm very proud to have been with Les and with Chaz. That's what we concentrated on. And we always concentrated on the kids that were there. I wasn't a big historical guy saying, you know, 10 years ago when they played at Coldet, that's over. You got to give the kids playing now the credit and the shout outs. And I was blessed to have both these guys who do exactly the same thing, or did.
When you got stuck with me, that was your prerequisite to hanging around in the booth at Mart's Hall the first night.
I told him that.
Yeah.
I told him that. We have a very great relationship, but it is. First thing I said was, what's your philosophy here about? Okay. And when he told me, I said, oh, good, I'll stay. It was that simple.
Yeah, I thought it was that simple. Myself.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, you know, there's a lot. I mean, Les had the honor of doing the play-by-play, and I'm going to go historical here, John, so forgive me.
Oh, no, this is great.
Les had the honor of doing the play-by-play for both of Pottsville's back-to-back state championship games. And I can remember, I believe it was the first one. At that point, I was doing other things. I think I may have been with T-102 at the time, doing color with Sean. And Ed Benishunas' father had passed away, and Ed followed on the sidelines with Crimson Tide football. And he couldn't do the state championship game, and we went down and did the tailgate thing in the parking lot, and then I had the opportunity to go inside and work the sidelines with him that night. And there wasn't, I don't think, any member of the Pottsville community that was prouder of those clubs than Les Blankenhorn. He you know, he was just so...
He was tied on his sleeve.
You know, and I can remember that night kind of vividly how emotional he was, not only to have the opportunity to call a game in Hershey Park Stadium, it's a state championship game, but it was his Crimson Tide that were playing in those games. And after those games, He was devastated when they didn't come out in Pottsville's favor, and I can remember those. I can remember seeing pictures of Les in a tuxedo, you know, for the telethon.
Telethon.
And he would
for
he,
years.
He would be the MC of the telethons on the television, and you know, I can remember the butterfly collars and learning that he owned a roller skating rink. To think Les on roller skates, he always looked so awkward, but he must have been. He must have been very debonair.
A dapper Dan.
Yes.
I think butterfly he also colors. Ran a racetrack out in Pine Grove, beyond Pine Grove. He had something to do with the announcing out there many years ago. Man of many talents.
Yeah.
Yeah, I always called him Inspector Gadget. You used the MacGyver. But I remember one morning, and I'm thinking it might have been Larry O'Rourke and I were here doing a Saturday morning show. And I guess we went off. And Larry and I, looking around at anything, nothing got done. We didn't know what to do. And a couple minutes later, in through the door here, walked Les with the hat cockeyed. He didn't say a word. He looked at both of us. He walked over to a different panel in those days. He walked over to the panel. He flipped a switch. And walked out, and we were back on. Did not say one word. Just, boom. Didn't explain. Didn't have to. I was just in awe of that.
Yep. I remember starting out as a part-time on-air personality, and training from Les was always interesting. Yeah. You know that.
Oh, yeah.
And he'd look, and if you had to work the evening shift or come in the morning, and he'd remind you about, remember we had to power up and power down the transmitter? And the lesson on that, and if I have to come down here and take care of this because you're 1 second late, I'm not going to be a happy man. That stuck with you, you know, but he was adamant. You need to hit the time, and if you didn't hit the time and something got screwed up and that station in Cincinnati called at night, oh, baby, look out if he came down here. So, yeah, I mean, he kind of just handled it, you know, and it was just, I don't know, I miss him. Yeah. I mean, we had the opportunity to take him to a game.
Oh,
we were calling, and you listened to that game.
I just listened. It was about Allentown Central Catholic. Oh, I forget what year. Nick Slitzer, Eric Seitzinger, that crew. And he came along for the broadcast. Mm-hmm. And it was wonderful. I mean, we had such a good time. And Chaz, you let Les and I do the halftime show. Mm-hmm. And that was pretty cool. He really enjoyed that. Got a kick to be sitting along with us. He never stopped kidding me, as some other people did that night when Pazzo came back and was beaten Allentown Central Catholic late in the game, and I bellowed, "Hey, Allentown Central, warm up your buses. You're going home in second. We have the gold." Les looked at me like, "Oh, why don't you say what you mean, JP?" Yeah, tough one. I'm prejudiced. Yeah, you're darn right.
But I guess before we go, there's a little piece of Les that we saved.
Oh, neat.
Jones, the quarterback. Low snap, but he handles it. Fires out, way out. Nobody there. Intercepted.
Cossel.
Intercepted by Cossel. He's at the 10, the 15, the 20, the 25, the 30, the 35, the 40. He's got a wall. He's at the 45. One guy penetrated the wall and got him, but not before he gets into Northwestern territory. There was a wall of possible players lined up protecting him, but one guy got through that wall, and that one guy was Tyala.
Well, Coach Keating talks about kids making plays. Well, Jeff Cossel just made a huge play.
I believe that sealed the deal for Pottsville to make one of those championship games against Northwestern Lehigh. And that's one we have. The rest of it's on cassette. I don't know where the hell that's at. I couldn't even begin to find it or figure out how I would even play it. But
I still have cassettes.
Well, yeah, I'm sure you do. And you probably have a cassette player in your car.
I do too, JP. I'm with you. I admit it.
I think it's important to get this out there about how much love we have for this man, and our sympathies to his family. But I have to tell you, thank you for sharing Les with all of us. It was a big plus in all our lives, and hopefully we'll be seeing the family in the near future. But we love you all.
Indeed. Couldn't have said it better myself, John.
Well said. Anything, Arj, before we Close it out?
No, just our thoughts and prayers to Les's entire family and his friends. And he was a great man. We're going to miss him, and we're glad he, like as these guys said, that Les shared his talent with us.
Indeed. Well said. We'll be back with more after these messages, folks. Stay with us on WPPA.
Quick and save. Vacations and outdoor recreation all start with a quality pre-owned car, truck, van, or SUV from Jerry's Northeast Auto Sale on Route 61, south of Pottsville. Jerry's is now offering a one-year warranty on all late model vehicles with your Quick and Save coupon. Visit jerrysnortheast.com or stop in today. Would your business like to reach new customers? Click and Saves are a great budget-friendly tool to help your business reach thousands of new customers. Contact us at 2102 and WPPA for more information today.
Tune in tonight for Philadelphia Phillies baseball on WPPA AM 1360 and 105.9 FM A106. The Phils close out their three-game series in Cincinnati against the Reds. First pitch is set for 7:10. It all gets underway with the Lehigh Valley Health Network pregame show 30 minutes prior to the first pitch. Phillies baseball on WPPA AM 1360 and 105.9 FM A106.
Best of luck to Douglas LaScala of Schuylkill Haven. Douglas is our Rodnick's Discount Groceries Hoagie Home Run Payoff Inning contestant for tonight's Phillies-Reds game. Our payoff inning will be the top of the second. If a Phillies batter goes yard in the top of the second, Douglas will win a 7-inch sub of his choice, courtesy of Rodnick's Discount Groceries. If a Phillies batter hits a grand slam, it's a hoagie tray, courtesy of Rodnick's. Best of luck to Douglas LaScala of Schuylkill Haven, and best of luck to the Phils.
We've all been there, faced with a physical setback. Whether you've suffered a sports injury that takes you out of the game, or your aches and pains are keeping you from doing what you love, we all want the same thing, to get your life back. Thankfully, you can trust the region's only nationally ranked orthopedic team to help get you there. At Lehigh Valley Orthopedic Institute, we turn setbacks into comebacks, one movement at a time. Lehigh Valley Orthopedic Institute. Comebacks begin here.
The Pioneer Pole family of businesses would like to introduce you to the newest member of the group, Penstar Stone and Concrete, serving Schuylkill County and beyond. Penstar sources many types of stone, specializing in indoor and outdoor fireplaces, exterior stone on your home, and accents. You name it, and we can add stone to it. Meeting customer needs has always been the Pioneer family's top priority. To find out more information, call 888-448-2505 for an estimate, or go to penstarstone.com. You can also find us on Facebook at Penstar Stone and Concrete.
This is John Katsimatidis. Welcome to the Worldwide News Network, the network we have built to make sure people around the whole world all have current news. The world has become so small. I grew up in a world where Walter Cronkite, 92% of the people, believed what Walter Cronkite says. These people are entitled to the truth. It's a worldwide news network for a worldwide audience, connected to the global audience, connected to you.
I'm Lee Harris, Vice President of News for the Worldwide News Network. The Worldwide News Network will bring factual truth to listeners across the United States and beyond. We'll ensure that our reporting is factual by checking it against multiple trusted sources, as journalists have traditionally done. We will not engage in participatory or activist journalism. We've hired professionals who are responsible for producing the previous best-in-class radio network news service. They will produce an even better news service for us, our affiliates, and most importantly, our listeners.
Here at T102 WPPA, A106, and T102SportsNow.com, we pride ourselves on our coverage of our local high school athletes. And we're also proud of all the fine sponsors, viewers, and listeners that support what we do to cover our area kids. So impressed, in fact, are we that we've reached 2 million views on T102SportsNow.com. Each one of those views is organic. Not one bot, not one paid follow, nothing. Everything is thanks to you. As we look to the future to expand our outlets, thank you to all the people that have viewed, helped out, taken pictures, written stories, our area coaches and players for being so accommodating, as well as our area athletic directors. We'd also like to thank our sponsors. Without them, we wouldn't be able to do what we do every single day. They make it happen, and we look forward to being timely, accurate, and knowing all of our area athletes and covering them with professionalism and dignity. Thank you for making us Schuylkill County's number one source for local sports.
Welcome back, folks. Hour number two of the program as we continue on this Thursday morning. As you said, remembering Les Blankenhorn, we've got R.G. Tidmore, J.P., John Powers, and Chaz Hepler was with us over these first hour or so of our broadcast. And winding things down, and again, we like to remind the folks out there, you remember Les, feel free to call in and share your thoughts as well at 570-622-7800. Saw we had some action on our social media sites, because I know some stuff is posted up there, so feel free.
One of the other things about Les was he was so ingrained with the community, and of course people, you know, that he would interview, that would come in, or he'd go out and record different things. He knew so many people in town. He knew their families. He knew how they got their job. Yeah, I remember when I started here full time, and I'd be like, Les, why is this town doing this, or why is that person doing that? He could run down the whole historical background of how it came to be, why they made a certain decision, and that's obviously why when he filled in on our news broadcast, he knew the history of everything. He wasn't just pulling a piece of paper and just reading the story. He knew the background behind it, so he could give more insight to certain things if the story called for it. And just he helped me an awful lot where I'm like, why are they doing that? That's dumb. He's like, well, they're doing it this way because this, this, and this, and they tried it the other way, you know, so many years ago, and it didn't work, so they changed it to this. I'm like, oh, okay. So it put things in perspective to me as starting here as the general manager back when I did. It kind of put things in perspective as opposed to just, you know, being a young kid and being like, that's dumb. Why are they doing that? He's like, well, here's why. I'm like, oh, well, that kind of makes sense now. Mm-hmm. So he had that background of the entire community, which was great.
Yes.
And he also was, I'll let you go then, John. I know you have some things to say. He was one of the reasons that he was so technical and specific with equipment and everything else, he was pretty much our liaison with the FCC back then. Mm-hmm. The FCC was a lot more hands-on with radio and TV back then. You would have just, they'd walk in, be an inspector. Hi, I'm from the FCC. Here's my badge. Let's walk around and inspect your facility. Oh, they did. Yeah. And it was, that's where the calls would go out. And I even got a few of them where people would be like, hey, they're in town to check on another station. I just want to let you know they're in town. They might come into your office and check or not, or they might pull out their analyzers and make sure you're on frequency and your power's correct and all that stuff. And as long as okay, they might just pack up and go and you wouldn't even know they were in town. But back in the day, Les would be the one to go out, and they would go not only through the building and check to make sure everything was proper and all your reports were done properly, but they would go to the transmitter sites and the tower sites, and they would be out and say, okay, do this, do that. They would come in and say, okay, run an emergency alert test for us. And just, you know, the poor person on the air would be like, I know I do this every day, but I'm nervous now because the FCC is looking at them.
Oh, yeah.
And Les would be like, it's fine, it's calm. You know, you do it every week. Let's just run it. Okay, boom, go through it. But he was the liaison with the FCC, and he had, with his rapport, he got along with most of the inspectors very well, if not all of them, where they were kind of like, hey, I like this guy, because they know coming here.
Right.
We were on their list for whatever reason to come and, you know, okay, your time's up, or we pulled your card, so you're getting inspected. They're like, oh, I like this place. We like Les Blankenhorn. He's got a great sense of humor. He knows what he's talking about, and the place is buttoned up. So he really did. He taught me an awful lot about, well, the FCC says this, and this is how it's written, but here's what they really want to see in practice. And be like, oh, okay. So, again, that was back more when the FCC was more hands-on. Now we have to do a lot of stuff that's just online. I log in, you file reports, so they don't even have to show up anymore. They can just look in their database and know it. But Les was a godsend for Pottsville Broadcasting Company, me, my mom and dad, when he was handling all this, because he did it so flawlessly. And the fact was, everything was the way it was supposed to be. The FCC was like, wow, you're one of the few stations that actually has this the way it's supposed to be. Good job. Okay, check, you're done. Inspection's over.
I wanted to follow up on the history, even in sports. Mm-hmm. It was the same. He was Pottsville in and out his whole life. And a lot of times off the air, he would share historical stories about Pottsville sports from before my time till I got. And that was always a big deal. And I'm going to take it one step farther. One of the great things is, especially when we did games that were league games and the league started to change and other teams would be coming in, Les had that knack. It didn't matter where we went. When he walked into the building and was met by the athletic director or whoever was running the show that night, especially from the smaller schools, mm-hmm. he knew them all walking in, and they were so thrilled to have the coverage. But Les did that groundwork with all those people getting back and forth and doing, and that was one of the great things. We were treated with such respect because he brought that about because he respected them. And I thought that was a big deal.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah, it was reciprocal. He put out the respect, so they respected him in return. And he knew what he was talking about better than most anybody in the business. So everyone respected him as a person, a personality, a technician. And he knew what he was talking about. So they knew that he wasn't going to give them a raw deal on anything. Everything was fair. Like, you let us use your phone line for this game. When you come in, you want to go to March Hall, you can use our phone line. And it was right. It saved all that scrambling of making sure phone lines were hooked up and connected and everything. And you're right. They just respected him because he gave the respect, and they also knew he absolutely knew what he was talking about.
Absolutely. I remember one game we went, and system was not working for whatever reason. And I remember the athletic director said, "How much line do you have?" And he said, "All you need, we have it in the van." He ran it and he put it on one of the district phones. And I remember looking, going, "You know, this is long distance in those days." And the guy went, "You guys are good to us. Les is good to us." And he just mm-hmm. hooked him up and he said, "Well, whatever it cost, we're just happy to hear doing the game. So we'll swallow that cost." But that's, he had that knack with people. He did.
Yeah, he really did.
He had that cord, though. I'll tell you what, it was on that big spool. And I remember we were at Mid-Valley hopping a fence going into some office, like you said. And I mean, I said to him, how much is on here? He said, "Enough." I was always like, "It's enough."
I remember that spool. It might still be laying around the building somewhere. It's probably better than some of the modern stuff you could buy. They called it zip line. It was like if you have an old lamp or a fan or something, that old brown cord that you plugged into the wall. That was the zip line. And it had some kind of connector on one end. And the other end, a lot of times, was just, as he said, the open copper, the twisted copper pair. And I believe it was 1,000 feet of this stuff on the line. And he had me go and set up a game the one time in New Philadelphia, and I used every bit of that zip line because they had me, the phone connection was out at some little building out past center field out there. The line was lifting off the ground. It was so tight to where they were going to broadcast. I even used some of the other phone connectors in there, but Les was like, he's like, "You might need it someday." I used to laugh about that, like, "Les, we got to carry this thing all over the place. I'm only going 20 feet. You might need it someday." Yep. Well, he was right. That someday came up. I need all of it and then some. So that stuff that Les used to say, you might not ever have to do it, but you might someday. Every now and then, those somedays came up, and boy, did he smile. And he's like, "I told you someday you might need it, and today was the day." And he was right.
That was him. And another thing I learned from Les, and Jay-Z, I can remember when we would go to do some games and stuff, and the parking lot would be full. Les just had this uncanny knack of looking at people and convincing them that we had a reserved spot to park. So I just took it for granted until I was working with Jay-Z, and we went to a number of games, and he'd be looking like, oh, where are we going to park this thing? And I'd go, roll the window down. And I'd say, yeah, I talked to the kids. I'd find out the name of the AD or something online. Yeah, we talked, and he said, that spot right up there. He said, we could go in there. I did it at Geigel. We pulled in the Geigel. And the guy looked at, yeah, I took care of it. And then, of course, after I slipped him a five. But it was just that idea. He was so laid back about it, like, hey, come on, did somebody forget to do their job and tell you? And we always got parking spots because of Les. And I'm going to give a shout out. Hey, there has to be people out there listening who have a Les Blankenhorn story or a broadcast story about how you were excited you were when you heard the broadcast of state championship game or district games or state games. I'm sure many of you sat and had that excitement that Les and PPA and T102 gave you. So give us a call.
570-622-7800. But so that's where you got that. That impressed me from Les.
Yeah, yeah. He was so casual.
You learned it very well, yes.
There had to be like almost a like, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
You don't know where we're from? And that's just the way he was. He wasn't as vocal as I was sometimes, but it worked. And, you learn a lesson sometimes when people aren't trying to teach you a lesson.
Right.
You watch their mannerisms, how they handle things, and you make it part of your own repertoire. And it lasted through a lot of years.
Again, I tell him he's like the Swiss Army knife. That's what I call him.
MacGyver,
yeah. Swiss, whatever you might want to call him.
But you were right.
Yes.
With me, especially, he never explained because he knew I had no idea. And we'd be on the air. You guys probably remember the old days where there was a black box that sat at your feet that was all plugged in and in the stands. I'll bet every other game when we were at away games, we'd go off the air and Les would get it fixed. And then Les would say, we're sorry, we had some technical difficulties. And I would say, Les, I kicked the box. Tell the people the truth. You got to put me farther away from that box or this is going to happen all the time. But I was always proud. When things started to go a little south with his breathing and stuff late in his career, I remember we did a game at Shamokin. And boy, he was suffering. Mm-hmm. And I just kind of looked at him and went, shush, be quiet. And I did the play-by-play and everything else for the rest of the game. And we got in the Hummer on the way home, and he thanked me. But he went out of his way the next time to thank me on the air, to say, I got to get this out of my system. JP took over. I appreciate it. Good friend. But that's the kind of guy he was. He did not let those things go unexplained. Right. He was very upfront.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're all a team here, and he was the ultimate team player.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he could certainly take the lead in a broadcast, any of the technical issues, any of the things that we've been talking about. But he was happy to be a team player. He was happy to let the spotlight shine on someone else or to give thanks where thanks were due. You know, he was one of the first people that would say, like, hey, we all did this together. He was never one to stand up and say, look what I did. Look what I have done for the company. He's like, hey, it helped the company. I'm just glad it worked out.
Right. Yeah, and a good one there. He was so open to what you were saying. Let other people in on it. Because when I started, of course, I coached basketball a lot of years. And I got into keeping other stats when I worked with Les. And he was so gracious about that because he would turn it over to me for more time than most guys would spend on a wrap-up because he saw what I did during a game. And once I started that history, I continued it and then right past that to my career with Chaz too. But that was Les not looking for the spotlight, saying, I'm going to turn it over to JP. He's going to give you not only the wrap-up, but all the stats that he's compiled, and then he'd just sit back until you're done.
Right.
And that's the kind of guy he was. That's the kind of guy he was.
Did you have the graph paper back then, too?
Yes, I started the Bible early. They tell me that it's still in this building somewhere, the infamous
we're working
Bible.
We're on a shrine for that. Your record keeping is extraordinary.
Yes. It was different, and I was never comfortable with the computer stuff.
Right.
I just wasn't. Yeah. I was old school, and there would be people that would come up. Leroy Boyer comes to mind. He'd come up and look over my shoulder, and at a commercial, he'd go, "How are you doing that? How can I said because I when I don't see things, my partners are so good at calling the game. I don't always have to see everything to know, and I can do that. But it was because of the expertise of the two guys I worked with all those years in basketball. And Jay-Z, I think you saw, I was the same way when we did baseball together.
Oh, yeah.
Honored to do state championship games. That was just me. It kept me busy.
Yeah. Oh, I enjoyed my times. I said that. Even now and then when we get stuck, I always pull your name out of the hat.
Oh.
I mean, see what he's doing. Is he busy?
Oh, yeah. They were fun times. And all the people I worked with made it fun. Mm-hmm. And anybody who knows me, if it wasn't, it would have been me giving a five-finger salute saying, hey, see ya. I mean, it's not – I certainly was not looking for a second job, career. For me, it was fun, and it gave us a chance. Les, Chaz, me, you, giving kids shout-outs.
Yeah.
That's what it's all about. That's what they deserve.
Yeah, it's about the kids.
It is.
And, you know, we're cutting the same cloth because I agree. No negativity. It's all positive. You know, they're playing for a big paycheck, you know, in high school.
Yeah, well, so how many times? I can remember many a time in a broadcast, they'd be howling at kids. And I would say, yeah, and with the money we paid them, you'd think they'd never make a mistake. But, yeah, and they were good times. Now, I will say, there was one official and one coach that I would never even mention their name. And Chaz used to bust me and say, and what's that other official's name?
Uh-huh.
And I'd say, oh, rotten hell before I say it. I will not say his name. He's a cheater. He's a thug. And the same thing with the coach. I'll say he was from Lee Heighton. Is that fair?
Yeah.
I wouldn't say his name. He was a trash man and tried to hurt our kids. That was it for him.
I knew the Lee Heighton guy. I have to get off the air who the referee was.
Yeah, well,
I knew who the coach was.
Hopefully I forgot his name. that was a long time ago. You have to remember I did it, 43 years?
Really?
So some of those early people, I don't know, but
43, wow, how about that?
Yeah, I started when I was two. The standards weren't that tough. FCC said let him on. He's only babbling anyway. But they're good times. And, you know, and again, I keep going back to Les. He was more than an announcer in my life and a lot of other people's lives. And that's the part I will treasure forever.
I said, when we went far away, like say for a game, I always liked when Les was there because I knew we were getting on the air. If he had to use the alligator clips, if he had to shave wire, take a phone apart, whatever, we were getting on the air. So I always felt so at ease when we went somewhere.
Yeah, you're right. And we kidded him about it, but we all relied on it.
Yeah.
You know, it was like if he doesn't come through with something here.
He could be.
He doesn't.
You know, he was the man on the phone, too. And you're kind of relaying it again before cell phones. Somebody's on a phone somewhere and yelling over because Les can visualize all this equipment in front of him. Yeah. So if he wasn't there and you were far enough away that he's like, well, I can't get there soon enough. All right, you're sitting there. Do you have power to this? Is this connected? Is this here? Is this wire crossed there? And he'd have you go through it. Like he was sitting right there, but he would talk you through it. And, you know, somebody else is yelling it or relaying it over to the person, and he would get you where you needed to be, even if he wasn't there. Like he could just picture the equipment that well.
Yeah, and that's another great point. And I'm glad you brought that up, Arch, because that happened many times to me because, like, it was too far away, but he was back here, and he would talk you right through that. Knew exactly what you were saying. Never had to repeat myself once. It was amazing. Amazing.
No, that's the skills he had and the way that he shared it with people, that's what made him special.
Yeah. Now, we're all fortunate that we got to work with Les, who was already fully formed as we knew him, you know, so knowledgeable about everything, so connected with people, so gracious. But there was a time, I was just thinking about this while you and Chaz were talking, that there was a time when Les was new to broadcasting. You know, if he started in September of 69, there was a time where he would have had to have learned a lot of the things that we just took for granted that Les learned. I'm sure he was self-taught on an awful lot of this stuff. But he probably worked with some of the people. I'm going to pull up some names that some of our listeners might remember. Ed Romance, Francis, and I remember this one, Greg Hamlin.
Yeah.
He was a character in good and bad ways. I know he was a laugh a minute for Les, and also a thorn in his side sometimes, because Greg could be witty as anything. And also, on the other hand, he'd be like, oh, I'm not making it in today. He's like, I mean, today, you're supposed to go on the air in 45 minutes. Like, and this was a 6 a.m. start, and he'd call Les and be like, I'm not making it in. Like, can you cover for me? He's like, well, thanks for the notice, buddy. You know, but Les worked with a lot of these people from, figure the WPPA was on the air probably about 23 years till Les started. So all the people coming up in the early days, Les got to work with them, the early broadcasters, and then he took what he learned from them and advanced it into what was the modern equipment and the modern age for him then. And now, of course, we're all, you know, computerized and all that stuff, which he was also a part of. But it was always interesting, and I wish I could remember, there was probably a time Les said, oh, I worked with this one and that one over the years. But as a little kid, it kind of, you know, here and there, and I don't remember exactly who he worked with. But it had to be some of the legends from, yeah. I remember he did work with Greg Hamlin, but before that, you know, some of the people, and it would have been interesting to hear stories of when Les was starting out, because you always knew him as like infallible, flawless, and everything. So there were probably times Les is like, that was one of the best reports I ever heard. It would have been great if you turned your microphone on. Like, it would have been like,
that was Les.
There were probably, you know, times like that that happened to him, and you know, he'd be the first one to be like, oh yeah, it happened several times until I got, you know, everything straightened out. But we were fortunate to know him, you know, fully formed, fleshed out, so knowledgeable about that, and I can't thank him enough for everything that he's done for me, for this company, for my family. He made life so much easier for my mom and dad when they were managing the radio station, and then until I came along, he did just such wonderful things here that you always knew all your bases were covered with the FCC, with the community, keeping the community in mind first for sports, always the kids, the players, you know, they were first. And I just feel so honored to have known him and worked with him for all the years that I did.
You wasn't know, there something where you had to have so many community hours dedicated back in the day? I don't know how it is now, but that used to be something.
That was part of the license renewal. They had what was called ascertainment.
Oh, okay.
And, you know, the license renewal now, you go online, you know, here's a couple of questions, a couple of statements, you submit it, and you're done. The package years ago, and it's like every like 8 years now. It used to be every 3 years back then. And I remember my parents had these big, thick, they would be like 3-inch thick packets for each station, one for WPPA, one for WAVT, and ready to be either hand-delivered at the time and or mailed to the FCC for license renewal. But you had to do ascertainment. You had to go around to all different, and the FCC gave you a list. You have to go to, you know, political, to education, to religious, to, and it had a couple other, you know, areas of community interest. And you had to sit down and interview people and say, okay, what is the radio station doing? And what would you like us to see, you know, more of, or what should we add to it so we can better serve the community? And you had to send, you know, I talked to this person, this date, this time, and I don't know that the person had to sign it, but you had to sign it that you actually did the interview with them. And you send it to the FCC, and they would, it would take months sometimes, so they actually went through it. You know, they didn't have computers either, by hand.
Yeah.
And they would get through it and be like, okay, you're getting your license renewed. It's like, oh, thank God. Okay. We only have 2.5 more years now. Do we have to wait till we do this again? Well, now it's so much simpler. I went through not so much an early version of that. It was much simplified when I started, but even since I've been here, in the 30-plus years I've been here, it's gotten where it's just, oh, license renewal is, yeah, you have to have your ducks in a row and everything proper, but it's so much more simple than that. And pretty much in a few weeks, they're like, yeah, here's your license renewal, and you'll be getting an official confirmation of it in the days ahead. But Les was all part of that, doing interviews and everything, like, what can we do better for the community? Which is, it's a good thing to have, and more stations actually should have to do that now. You hear some of these stations that are owned by the mega conglomerates, and they play music back-to-back. Some of them are really narrow in their music field. There's not much diversification. Where I think some of the old rules for the FCC, not that I'll knock wood here, not that I want them to come back in force or anything, but some of it was better because the stations actually did serve the community better. Yeah. They talked about things that were of interest to that community. You know, a lot of the stations put their big talented DJs on through several markets throughout the entire country. Well, that's all great, and they can do a nice show, and they can have great interviews with celebrities and, you know, political people or whatever, and that sounds great, but what's really happening in the community? Les Blankenhorn was such a part of that. He was so tied into the community and what was going on and what we should do more of, and you know what? This would be really good to broadcast this or put together a program to cover this, and it really was what was best for our community. He was part of that. My dad used to say, you know, take care of Schuylkill County and Schuylkill County will take care of you. Like, there are certain things like what you and Chaz do now, what you and Les used to do with local sports. If we weren't covering it that way, ESPN's not showing up and doing that game. It's up to you guys at the tip of the spear there to be, you know, doing the game and us as a company to do that. And I think that's really what's helped this company for so long, were principals that my dad worked on, Jim Thompson, Les Blankenhorn. You take care of the community. You don't take the community for granted. You do things that are of importance to the community, and that's what matters. How are you going to keep informed? That's what we're trying to do, and Les was a huge part of that.
You've moved so far ahead with T102, SportsNow.com, and on Facebook. The people of Schuylkill County especially are getting information about our kids that they can't get in the newspaper anymore. If I hurt somebody's feelings, tough luck. But they don't cover Schuylkill County. They don't cover Schuylkill County sports much. You play a game on a Saturday or a Friday and you don't find out till Tuesday. This station has been in the vanguard with that, in making sure that people in this county and beyond it, because I know my brother checks it out from San Antonio, you provide that service to people. And Les was that guy who got the ball rolling because he always was community-oriented. And now, as you said, there's so many things that are conglomerates that they're giving you their opinion anymore. They're not reporting the news. They're telling you how they feel about something. We reported what was happening, and Les was a bugger. Chaz is. Everybody that has been here has been really on top of that, not listening to some bonehead on TV telling you how you should think. I said, I got to share a story. 1999, I became the dean of students at Pottsville. And that day, we had a meeting. And somebody in the faculty said, JP, what do you think the biggest problems are going to be over the next years? And I said, that's easy. I said, 24/7 supposed news stations and social media. And everybody giggled. Yeah, take a look around now. Yeah. That's what made this and the local newspaper the treasure to people around here. I'm proud to be part of this because you've continued that. And with the morning show, bringing in these people from different businesses and stuff, I'm sure the whole time Les had a grin on his face going, yeah, I was part of that. I got that ball rolling. And he did.
Yeah.
He did. So be thankful you have what you have and put some pressure on some people to make the printed one look better.
Yeah. Said from your heart. I know.
You know me.
You want what's better for everybody, and that's where
if they get mad at me, if you're out there and you're mad at me, don't send me a Christmas card this year. I'll be upset.
You know, coaches would say kids just love to hear their name. If they hear their name on the radio, that means so much to them or their parents.
Yeah, and many of those kids, JZZ, after games, parents and kids. And this goes back to when I started with Les. Parents and kids would come up and thank us for putting their games on. That was, and that came from kids and parents.
Yep.
Well, you know, and that, you know, we got the ball rolling many years ago.
Well, there was a kid, and I said it, and it was amazing. And it was after they won the districts. So all the pomp and circumstances going on, and I'm getting away. I don't want myself in any pictures because, you know, this. So I'm walking away, and I hear this girl calling over to me. And she was a player. And she stepped away from all this excitement to come over, and right there on the foul line, she says to me, I just wanted to thank you for giving us the coverage that you do. And like you said, stuff like that stays with you.
It does. It does, and it's an important part of it. Can I – we'll go off base because Greg was here at the time, Greg Hanlon. Yeah. Okay. When you talk about a sense of humor, I was a young teacher, and Greg and I were friends. I know his family well. And I get to school one day, and somebody said, hey, JP, on the air this morning, Greg Hanlon, who started at like 6 o'clock in the morning, said he came on, and he said, well, everybody have a good day out there. He said, but if you go to Pottsville High School, be careful. He said, I just saw JP coming out of the Club 18 about 15 minutes ago and heading to school. I thought, what? I was teaching at the time. And I was like, but that was Greg. And you could never get mad at Greg. No, you could never.
It was funny, a little aside, and we're talking about Wes here, but a Greg Hanlon story. I used to go out and set up the live broadcast and stuff, and there was a gas station that had opened in St. Clair many years ago. It was probably back in the 80s. And you said Greg started at 6 a.m. Well, sometimes Greg's shift started at 6 a.m. Greg got here, you know, a little way after that maybe. But I was setting up this broadcast. It was like a Saturday morning. Say he was going to do like a 10 to 1 o'clock, you know, broadcast, something like that, from this newly opened gas station, or it was newly renovated. And I had set up all the equipment. I'm like, I'm calling back to the studio on the Saturday. I'm like, Greg's not here yet. It's like 5 of, and he's supposed to come on. Like, well, I just get a record queued up here. And again, we still had that double turntable set up and everything. Like, get a record queued up, and I'm like, okay, he's not here yet. So as soon as we come out of the news, like, just hit play on the record, let it start going. I'm like, okay, boom. Start up the record going. Record's going along, starting to come down. I'm like, he's still not here. He's like, well, you better queue up another record. I think I queued up about 3 records, and partway through the 3rd record, here comes Greg in. He has some more music under his thing. He goes, hey, Arch, thanks for setting up. Thanks a lot. Appreciate it, buddy. Okay, he gets on right in front of the microphone. Hey, everybody, good morning to you. Happy to be here in St. Clair. Blah, blah. Like nothing happened. It was like, well, okay. So when the broadcast was over, I went back to take the equipment apart and pack it up and bring it back to the station. And for Greg's part, he's like, okay, I'm done. Hey, thanks a lot. Great job, buddy. Okay, boom. Takes his records. Out he goes. And I'm like, oh, I guess he's not helping me put the equipment away. That was it.
There was a difference with Greg. That was his personality.
But he did, Les, I wasn't offended by it. I thought it was more amusing. Like, he did his part. He started slightly late, but he did his part. He was done. The staff and the client were very happy with what he did. So I put the equipment away, brought it back here, put it where it was supposed to be, and that was it. But that was my Greg Hanlon story of working directly with him.
And Les was always, thank you, my friend.
Yes.
Thank you, my friend. No matter what you did, the slightest thing you did for Les Blankenhorn, he acknowledged, and he ended it with, my friend. Mm-hmm. That was always impressive, and he never changed.
Yeah, and he meant it, too.
He did.
It wasn't just something he said offhand. He meant it.
He was real and raised a great family. Daughters are fabulous. But all those good things, and these memories will come flooding back for a lot of people when they see this, when they read about his passing. It'll be like, I remember when. I remember when. And when you think about it, to go back to the early 70s, and people will say, I remember when he ran this or that charity thing and took the time to reach out to people in the community. I remember when. And, you know, it's a good chance to give him a shout out and let him know how much he meant.
Yeah, absolutely. I can't thank you guys enough for coming on board. We're going to take a quick break. We'll come back with more on this Thursday morning. Stay with us. We're coming back with more after these messages on WPPA.
Tune in tonight for Philadelphia Phillies baseball on WPPA AM 1360 and 105.9 FM A106.
The Phils close out their three-game series in Cincinnati against the Reds. First pitch is set for 7:10.
It all gets underway with the Lehigh Valley Health Network pregame show 30 minutes prior to the first pitch. Phillies baseball on WPPA AM 1360 and 105.9 FM A106.
Best of luck to Douglas LaScala of Schuylkill Haven. Douglas is our Rodnick's Discount Groceries Hoagie Home Run Payoff Inning contestant for tonight's Phillies-Reds game. Our payoff inning will be the top of the second. If a Phillies batter goes yard in the top of the second, Douglas will win a 7-inch sub of his choice, courtesy of Rodnick's Discount Groceries. If a Phillies batter hits a grand slam, it's a hoagie tray, courtesy of Rodnick's. Best of luck to Douglas LaScala of Schuylkill Haven, and best of luck to the Phils.
The heat index has reached the point where squirrels are carrying tiny towels, the pigeons have formed a synchronized swimming team, and somebody just saw a snowman filing a missing persons report. Your official cooling center? Rodnick's Discount Groceries in Minersville. Cool off with these scorching, cool doorbusters. Grab 32-count Dots assorted flavor pretzels for just $9. Del Grosso's marinara sauce. 4 packs of Joyba bubble tea in sweet peach honeysuckle or strawberry rose herbal tea for only $2. Stovetop chicken or turkey stuffing for $1. And 12-count Papa Nicholas house blend medium roast K-cups for just $3. Then dive into the frozen section where it's practically wearing earmuffs. 20-ounce crinkle or straight cut fries are just $1.50. 1-pound bags of ham cubes are only $1. And 4-count M&M peanut butter ice cream cookie sandwiches are only $4. Forget sitting in front of the air conditioner wearing frozen peas as a hat. Head to Rodnick's Discount Groceries, 304 North 4th Street, Minersville, where the prices are so low, they just drop the temperature 10 degrees.
Click and save. Looking for a ride that won't break the bank? Cruise on down to Deals Auto Sales at 900 West Market Street. Great deals, great prices, and financing that fits your budget with guaranteed credit approval. Trucks, cars, SUVs, we've got it all. Deals Auto Sales, drive happy, drive deals. Click and save. Deegan CPAs always provides professional tax services. Deegan CPAs is also Schuylkill County's number one voted accounting firm. Use your coupon to save $13 off any tax service.
Welcome back, folks. Hour number two of the program on this Thursday morning. Jay-Z along with RG wrapping up the program today, remembering Les Blankenhorn, if you weren't with us at the top, sadly, an icon from WPPA passing away. Great gentleman. He will be missed. And I know, RG, I have a few things before we officially wrap things up that you want to say. So the microphone is yours, my friend.
Yes, Jay-Z. I'm really glad it worked out this way today where you had an opening on Let's Talk. And you and Chaz were already talking when I came in this morning and said, hey, what do you think? Can we do this? I'm like, this is a fantastic idea. Absolutely put a dedicated program together for Les Blankenhorn, who really was. He's a giant in the radio industry, a giant as a person who cared about Schuylkill County, a wonderful family man, and a great friend. We've lost a really great friend with Les. There's so many, probably more stories that people have out there, and maybe over the next several days or even the next week, people will call in and be like, gee whiz, I just thought of this, or, I found a photo with Les and they want to send it to us. We could put it up on the website or something like that. But I just feel so fortunate to have known him personally and to have worked with him. And he really was like, there are a lot of people that have been here and gone, and some people that have been here a long time, like Les did, and they're all worthy of remembrances as well. But definitely, I would, some of the top list of people, Les is way up there on people that deserve to be remembered and thanked for everything that he's done for this radio station and the community, and for each of us individually. That just as JP said, just his friendship, when he'd say my friend, and he meant it. Yep. When he said that, he meant that he felt that you were a friend. So again, to his family, Diane, Jennifer, Cindy, all the grandchildren, his extended family and friends, our heartfelt sympathies and our prayers go out to you. He truly was a remarkable person.
Yeah.
And he will be missed. God bless you, Les Blankenhorn.
Amen. He'd be on the Mount Rushmore of WPPA, that's for sure.
Oh, absolutely.
Yes. Arch, thank you for spending time with us here. We really appreciate your insight on things. And Les, Godspeed, my brother.